you'll finish the race. And you'll be safe. Hallelujah. You know, we've heard so much about the total eclipse of the sun, which is going to take place tomorrow. We've heard a lot about the crossings of the paths of the, as it relates to the eclipses of 2017 and the 2014, how they crossing the nation. Well, as the eclipse transverses the land, it metaphorically, okay, touches each area, inviting a collective and an individual response. Okay, now, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all know this verse. The Lord speaking, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. The eclipse can be a catalyst for this humble seeking and turning. Furthermore, the eclipse path invites us to consider our mission and our purpose. Just as Jonah was called to Nineveh to deliver a message of repentance, we too are called to be messengers in our times to share the light of Jesus Christ, even when shadows fall. The story of Jonah denotes that God's desire is for repentance and protection, not judgment and destruction. We can also find comfort in knowing that even when darkness seems to prevail, God's promises remain steadfast for us. Don't get anxious and nervous. See, this is an exciting time to be in. You know, we get to be a witness to this event. Now, don't look up at it if you don't have the glasses, you know, because the corona will affect your corona, okay? That's pretty neat, though, when you look at that, how that's going to happen. But you got to have those special glasses. And you know, people are getting, they're panicking. Even the schools are saying, we don't want the students out. We're going to send them home so we don't have to be responsible for it. That's it. Well, you know what that's called? You know? Protect. You protect your own self there. That's what they're all doing. That's what all the, you know, the governments, even some of the states saying, they want nobody out. What? They don't want people out in the streets. They're trying to tell us what we can do, what we cannot do here again. We can go out. We're free people. We're free. We're a free nation. But they're already starting again. Like I say, don't be nervous. Don't be anxious. But see, during this time, we need to pray and seek the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. We want to look at verse 14 here. All right. Then God said, who? God. Okay, just to make sure. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. I like the way Moses interjected. Oh, no, yeah, don't forget, he made the stars also. Brother Mo, hey, you just got to love them, right? Amen. Verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God said that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Are you getting that? When did he create the sun and the moon? On the fourth day. Okay. That is it. But why did he create them? It says right there. Did it not? Verse 14. Yeah. For signs and seasons and for days and years. Okay, I point that out because now I want you to, you go back up here to verse 3. Back up here to verse 3 now, chapter 1. So, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Did we need the sun and the moon for light? God said, let there be light. He hadn't even created them yet. And there was light. I know where the light came from. The glory of God. Wow. I wrote this out. This is a prayer that I want to pray because of a lot of us that are getting excited about that. Okay? Almighty and everlasting Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sovereign Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. In your unchangeable nature, we find our steadfast hope. And we rest in the assurance that from the first light of creation to the final eclipse, your purposes are being fulfilled. Lord, we exalt your name above all. You set the stars in place and commanded the sun to shine. Your works are perfect, and we trust your timing. We praise you, Lord, for your glory shines brighter than the sun. You are worthy of all honor, for in your hands are the times and seasons, and you use the heavens to declare your mighty works. We thank you, Father, for the countless blessings you have poured upon us and our loved ones. We thank you for the gift of life. Merciful Lord, we come before you. Yes. Seeking forgiveness for our sins. As you forgive us, we also extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Lord, we stand in awe of your cosmic display in the heavens as a testament to your sovereignty. As the moon covers the sun, let not our hearts be shadowed by fear or doubt. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. I rebuke every power of darkness and every scheme meant to sow confusion into our lives. Let us not be easily led astray here. Lord, I claim your peace, which surpasses all understanding, for all of us here this morning. By the authority of your word, I proclaim victory over every challenge and trial we face. I declare healing over our bodies, minds, and spirits, for you are the God who heals us. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim protection against the attacks of the enemy. We are standing firm in the promise that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I pray for your blessings to flow in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, for health to be restored and strength to be renewed, for joy to fill our hearts. I thank you that you have heard my prayers, that you are answering my prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say, amen. We pray and we give it to the Lord. We trust him. Let's say, don't make more of this eclipse. Everybody's got something. They're figuring something out and trying to tell them. It's a sign of repentance. Calling this country to repentance. And it's calling individuals to think about what they are. We need to be in repentance as well. We need to be asking for forgiveness and then extending forgiveness. Because not only this, we've got on record now, from the start of the year till now, 195 earthquakes recorded over 4.0 on the Richter scale. Wow. See, I'm not telling you that to get you excited. I'm just telling you, his return is coming. And we're in that time. We're alive for just such a time as this. Chet has been here for how many years now? For just such a time as this. He's here for a reason. God wanted him here for a reason. Where he's at now, his light is shining. See, when people want to know, well, what's your secret? He said, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. The man is totally healed and healthy. God promised him a long life. You know what he said? I'm taking up on that. Amen. Amen. But you know, I want you to remember during these times that we have authority and we have power. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Amplified Classic Edition. And you, he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. We're under the sway of the tendency of this present age. One. Been there? Uh-huh. Following the prince of the power of the air, Satan. You were. What's were? Past tense. Okay? Pick up on that. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving. See, my brother, you're a believer now. So you're out of this. Praise God. Who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived. Remember, this is Paul speaking the word, and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our craving dictated by our senses and our dark imagings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath, and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4, you got to love it, Tim. But God, I like it. But God, so rich in his mercies. Yes, but God, so rich in his mercies. Hold your plate. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Did you get that? Huh? His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Back to verse 4. But God, so rich in his mercies, because of in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intensive love with which he loved us. What's love got to do with it? Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, I didn't either, that you are saved. I'm saved. So are all of you. We're saved by grace, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Verse 6, and he, God, raised us up together with him, Jesus, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This was all brought about by his shed blood. Paul is telling us that God has given us a seat in a place of authority in Christ. Through our relationship with Jesus, we are now in the position of authority and power from which we are to rule. We are to rule. We are the ecclesia. We are his church. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10. This is Paul again speaking. He says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. See, his grace is what makes us all want to change. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. I don't think we can agree with that. Paul says, though I worked harder than all of the apostles. He wasn't being proud or arrogant. You got to remember, he had held a prominent position as a Pharisee, trained by the best. His conversion made him the object of even greater persecutions than the other apostles. Meaning, he had to work harder to preach the same message. Think about that. Paul was deeply humble. He knew that he had to work hard and accomplish much for the Lord. And it was only, I can say, only because God had poured kindness and grace upon him. When Paul got saved, He got saved to the bone. And he got baptized. Same time. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God had work for him to do. He was preparing him. Paul knew he was in Christ and that he was seated with Christ in a position of authority. And because of this, God used him. God used him in many, many ways. And others saw it. Because in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 15. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and evil spirits went out from them. He just literally laid his hands on the cloth, prayed over them. They took them out, and people got healed. They got delivered, and they got set free. He was transferring the anointing. When God's moving and the anointing's here, and if I'm the vessel or if the elder dean's got that, and we're told to anoint, that's a transfer of the anointing from God, not from the vessel that's doing it. We're just that delivery person. You got to get that right. See, it's not what we can do, it's what he can do. And he does it through us because we're willing. If you're willing, he'll work through you in mighty ways. But you got to be willing. And you got to be obedient. I don't know why I said all that. But okay, anyhow, back to verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." They started out wrong right here already. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva. These proud, arrogant, because they thought, you know what? Our dad is a Jewish priest. And he's not the high priest, but he's a chief priest. Who did also. These seven went out there. And it says in verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?" And we know the rest of the story. That one spirit whooped seven boys, left them bloody and naked as they were running out for their life. That evil spirit was all over them boys. Paul's operating power came from the Holy Spirit in him. The seven so-called exorcists found out it was not enough to know the name of Jesus. They needed to know Jesus personally. That's why when you speak the name of Jesus, okay? I'm going to speak the name that Pastor Jack's talking about. I'm going to look at you. What? Who are you talking about? You know, okay, you got to understand. But once I get established, then I'll be like when they say, oh, yeah, no. You see what I'm saying? You got to use the name. The name of Jesus. Name above all names. Power in that name. Come on. We got the name. We got the word. We got the blood. Think about it. You are powerful. And when you start to use it and apply it, especially after you've put on the armor, because if you ain't got the armor, you go out there and start fighting, you ain't got nothing going to protect you. So when you're going to do battle for something or for someone, you put on the full armor of God first. Then you go out and you start your fight. There's a big difference, and you'll see it. See, a lot of times we miss not putting on that armor. And if you ask anyone that's been in the military, they'll tell you, if you don't go out there with your equipment on, you know, you ain't going to make it long out there in battle. That's why you wear those Kevlar vests and all that stuff and the helmets, you know. Put on your armor. Know who you are in Christ. And those evil spirits, they'll know you as well. But in Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 21. Okay, Ephesians 1, 18 and 21. I pray that God will open your minds to see His truth. Then you will know the hope that He has chosen for you. Hope. Confident expectation of success and a future. That's what He's chosen for you to have. That hope is not just a positive future, but a complete assurance of victory. This complete certainty comes through the Holy Spirit who is in us. The exact same Spirit that was in Paul. He goes on to say, you will know that the blessings God has promised His holy people are rich and glorious. Those are for us. Meaning that they are inexhaustible and they're out of this world. Verse 19. And you will know God's power is very great for us who believe. It is the same as the mighty power He used to raise Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right side of God in heaven. God's power is very great, and it's great for us. See, we are mountain movers. We are water walking mighty conquerors. See, there's nothing to compare His great power in us to. There's nothing too difficult for God, right? And He operates within us. Should anything be too difficult for us? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 21. He put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings. He gave Him authority over everything that has power in this world or in the next world. He gave Him authority over everything that has power in this world. Jesus is above all principalities and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Paul said, not only in this present time, but also in the future and beyond. Get that? There's a future and there is a beyond for us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The place of authority that Christ operates from is at the right hand of God, who Himself placed Him there. What did it say in Ephesians 2:6? It said, and He, God, raised us up together with Jesus. He made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We have been seated together with Jesus at the right hand of God. in a place of authority with Jesus above all principalities, finds all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. We have been given a seat with Jesus. Dean, do you have a seat with Jesus? Denise, you have a seat with Jesus. Janice, John, you have a seat with Jesus. All of you here, you're born again. You got a seat with Jesus. You've been raised up. Just think of such a time as this. That's where you're sitting. That's where he's placed you. Before Jesus left the earth, he told the disciples in Matthew 28, 18 and 19. God bless. All authority, all power to rule has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, all that authority and power to rule was invested in Jesus. Then he turned around and he handed it to us. Do you hear that, Tim? He handed it to us. Praise God. I'm winding down. He empowered us with exousia, delegated power and authority, which we are to exercise under his direction from Holy Spirit and the Word. How do we exercise this awesome authority to rule heaven and earth? Like everything else in the kingdom, we do it by faith. We debar the Word to our situation or circumstances in faith, believing that it will accomplish what it was set out to do. It is sent out through our mouths. See, it's so important to watch what comes out of your mouth. You gotta watch. Now you gotta be honest though. So a lot of us are hoping what we say will make a difference. Instead of believing what you say will make the difference. We spend so much time sitting there speaking about the mountain. And we don't speak to it. The mountain's just going to stay there. He will say, why ain't this working? What you're talking about, the mountain. Talk to it. Cast it into the sea. Can you do that? Your faith says you can. Come on. And when it comes to prayer, we do it from a place of authority. As Ephesians 6 told us, it says that we are in a high position with authority. When we are praying about a personal situation or for the nation, we pray from a position with authority. The challenge will be, will we pray from the right position? See, we could easily find ourselves praying from a place of being under pressure of the situation, a position beneath our God-given authority, or by an act of faith, and again, it is by faith, we can pray from a place above the pressure where we belong. Then the circumstances must change to fall in line with God's word, which is his will, because someone in a position of authority, and that's you, says so. The point is, the position you take in prayer determines the outcome of the prayers. Anytime you pray faith-sounding words that are actually motivated by fear, you are praying from a position beneath your true seat of authority and Don't expect anything to happen. That's what happens. See, Jesus is seated above all principalities, all power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. And we are seated with him. Amen. When you pray from your position with him, it is the above position. What is saying Deuteronomy? We're always above and never beneath. You got to say that. I'm always above and never beneath. Right? I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. You see, that's those scriptures like that. That fires you up. That's what gets you going. My brother, when I first got saved, I thought I could run through the walls. I got that pumped up, you know. And then they had to rein me in and get me under control. And look where I ended up today. God can do amazing things. You just got to be willing and obedient. And like I did, you don't run from God. Because he finally catches up to you. Hallelujah. When you pray from your position with him, it is above and never be known. Never beneath. Always above, remember. That's the position you're in. And that's above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. Pray faith-filled words over the situation, and you will see things change. Remember where you sit. Don't let the devil tread on you. No more. Remember, he's choking on the blood. Are you getting a hint, Theodore? No weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Let's say it together. Say, no weapon formed against me or my family shall prosper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We ain't afraid of no eclipse. You know, some of them make it think like it's doomsday out there. It ain't doomsday no more. We ain't letting the devil tread on us. Come on, theater. You got it. I think you got it. Praise God. He got to save you guys. Yeah. Yeah. I went over.